Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
Looking up to me, that's why I'm looking up to you. You,
Lord, keep me looking up to you. I'm always looking up to you.
Amen. You are listening to the Looking Up Show. This is a live broadcast, actually. It's coming to you on Wednesday, the 16th of October. We are nearing the end of the year. Can you believe it? My name is Sharissa Tarosian, and I'm joined in studio today by my wonderful co-host, Pastor Danny Malenkov. How are you, Pastor Danny?
I'm praising the Lord, my friend, and I'm very happy to be on another Looking Up Show.
Yes, we really want to be looking up because there's not a lot of good things happening in our world. But whenever we look up, what hope we have in Jesus.
Amen.
So we're excited. Today we've got a really pan-packed program for you as always. What's our subject today?
What's not our subject today? Was that the question? No. What's our subject today? No, we will just take a look at what's been making news headlines from a prophetic point of view, as always. That's where we begin. And then God willing, and I think this time we will, last week, I think I promised Charissa that we would definitely get into our Bible study because
you did.
What was on the radar, it didn't seem like it was going to take up all the time, but lo and behold, we barely finished with what we had as far as those prophetic headlines are concerned. But this time I think we'll be able to move through a little bit quicker.
Good.
There still will be quite a few things to talk about, and then we'll be moving into our Bible study, just continuing on in connection with Israel in Bible prophecy. What does the Bible have to say? There's lots of different theories and ideas there, especially as we're drawing nearer to the election in the United States of America. So we're going to find out what the Bible has to say. And I think that'll be a very interesting and intriguing topic for our listeners to tune into today.
Sounds good. I hope that they enjoy it. And because this is a live broadcast, if you have any comments or questions that come to your mind during today's broadcast, please don't hesitate to text them in to us. Can't take calls because then we wouldn't be able to do the show, but we can take texts. And the number to text in your comments, questions, or prayer requests is 0488-817-624. And you'll want to keep that number handy because, as always, we like to give away some gifts to our listeners. And today, Shell, our producer, has left some beautiful instructions. I'm just reading them. She says, for today's giveaway, which we'll tell everyone about in just a few moments, but it's a book called Darkness Before Dawn.
Mm.
I'll tell you more about it
in
a little bit.
That is a brilliant book. I was giving that book away like hotcakes at the Freedom Rallies in Canberra.
Is that so?
A couple of weeks ago. Yeah. A couple of years or so ago, maybe 3 years ago, 2021,
wow.
I think it was.
Time's flying.
Or 2022, I can't remember one of those 2 years.
So you recommend this book?
Oh, highly recommend it. It's just full on important. And it's just a short, it's an abbreviated version of The Great Controversy.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So,
well, we talk about that book a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the chapters in there that was promoting at the rally, at those freedom rallies in Canberra, was the one entitled Liberty of Conscience Threatened. And I would actually turn to that page and I would say to the person that I wanted to give the little book to, I'm like, can you read the title of this chapter? And they'd read it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, are you familiar with any of this? Does this ring a bell? Why are we here at the Freedom Rally? And their eyes would light up. And then the next question, obviously, it was like a no-brainer. And the next question was, do you know when this book was written? And they're like, no. And I'm like, written over 100 years ago, describing why you are here today. They're like, what?
Amazing.
You got to be joking. What is this? And they thought I was mad at first, but then they didn't think I was so mad, and I'd give them the book, and they were really excited.
That's a great way to give it. Well, you know what's exciting about this giveaway today is that Shell says that we can have as many copies to give away as people request until the end of a live show.
Oh, wow.
So that means everybody can be a winner today, and everybody can have this book as a giveaway if you listen and receive the code word when we give it. So I'm very excited about that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I do want to give a plug to the Coffs Harbour folk. If there's anyone in Coffs Harbour listening to my voice, Charissa's voice today, I want to invite you to come along tomorrow night. It all begins tomorrow night there, Faith FM dinner, 6 p.m. at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You can register online, go to the Faith FM events page on the Faith FM website, and you can register your interest. So starting tomorrow night, Charissa.
Wow.
And my subject for tomorrow night, so 6 p.m. is the dinner, free dinner, and then 7 p.m. is my first message, and I've entitled it The Rise of Globalism and the New World Order.
That's a great title.
Absolutely. And then Friday night, we continue, 7 p.m., A World on the Brink.
Yep.
Saturday morning, there's two sessions, one at 9:30, American Apocalypse, and then finishing off with the final showdown. How does that sound like a quartet of full-on subjects?
It sounds like a series for today.
Absolutely.
Can anyone listen online, or you have to be there in person?
I'm not sure if they've – I'm sure they've got a live stream. I'm not sure. If they've got a live stream, they'll probably live stream it.
Okay.
But for those who – well, I'm updating a lot of my material, especially the American stuff. I'm updating a lot of that. So, So do come along. Otherwise, I can let you know at the end of the program or sometime how you can get hold of the videos that have been taped so far.
Fantastic. Well, let's.
But we want to see you there for the dinner.
Oh, right. Sounds good. I think everybody wants to be there. Right now, we're going to listen to James Jackson bring to us a song I've never heard before called Job's Song.
Will I trust?
trust. That's James Jackson bringing to us Job's song, and you are listening to The Looking Up Show. We are live, and we're so glad that you're joining us today, October the 16th. It's amazing that we're already here. Well, we
beautiful song, by the way.
It was a beautiful song.
I haven't heard it, and that's based on the words of Job.
Words of Job.
Job 13, verse 15.
Though
he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I was thinking about the story of Job. Today I had to drive down to Sydney, Sydney Adventist Hospital, or the SAN.
Yes.
As it is known.
My life and began there.
Did it?
Yeah, I was
did
born
it.
There.
Wow, wow. Only special people are born there. Well, I was visiting someone who is at the end of his journey. Sadly, this wonderful, wonderful man by the name of Rob, who I have been blessed to know for many years now. They were him and his wife. And their two children, him and his wife Lynn, and their two children, Venice. This is Venice, you know, our regular Faith FM listener, Looking Up listener and contributor, and her brother Brendan. They were there at the Hillview Church back in the 90s when I was going through Avondale College, as it was known then, doing the ministerial course. Anyway, I got to know them at Hillview for those 4 years, and then I ended up pastoring there as well for 4 years, 2019 to 2022. And it was, it's been wonderful to get to know them. But unfortunately, he's at the end of his journey. He's been fighting cancer for the last 6 years. And I was there Monday night with the family and also this morning. And, you know, we were reflecting on the blessed hope that we have. You know, he hasn't got long to live now. And it's of course, very sad, very tragic, very heartbreaking. I've been in that situation myself, you know, with my mum suffering from cancer and ultimately passing away from cancer 5 years ago. And so I know firsthand what it's like. And but as we were there gathered around Rob's bedside there at the SAN, you know, we were able to reflect on the promises of Jesus, you know, the blessed hope, those words of encouragement. And as I think of the story of Job, you know, there isn't really anyone in the Bible that we know of that's been through more tragedy and more heartache and heartbreak than Job, surely.
That's true.
You know, in the space of a few short hours, he literally lost everything.
Everything. 10 children.
10 children, all his possessions, everything he lost. And then shortly after that, he lost his health as well and felt abandoned. And anyway, in the story of Job, this is what he shares. And maybe you want to read for us Job 19, verses 25 to verse 27, Sharissa. And these words, I was sharing these words with Rob maybe a few weeks ago when I caught up with him at his home. And these are just beautiful words. Job 19 verses 25 to 27. In the midst of his pain and suffering, he's covered in boils from head to toe. All his children have been taken, all his possessions. His wife in her heartache and heartbreak has simply said to him, why don't you curse God and die? That's the only time she speaks in the whole book, and that's what she shares. That's the heartache of a mother, you know. That's the heartache and the heartbreak of a mother who's lost her 10 children. And she is also wondering, where is God? And you do. You wonder. A lot of people wonder, where is God when I'm going through tragedy, when my loved ones are dying, when I'm losing my job, when, you know, my husband or my wife has told me they no longer want to be with me, when my children don't want to speak to me. You fill in the blanks. And these words are from Job in his greatest of despair, but these words of beautiful hope. Do you want to read Job 19, verse 25 to 27?
For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Beautiful.
Beautiful words, eh?
Very beautiful.
These are the words of Job. In spite of everything that he was going through, he put his faith and trust in his God. And he looked up. This is what you call looking up. This is what this program, this is what this show is all about, looking up. In the midst of trials and tragedies, that we continue to look up, because we know that we have a Redeemer who is alive and well, and one day he shall stand at last on the earth. And I love what Job says, you know, in my flesh I shall see my God.
Very personal.
Very, very personal. He knew God.
He did.
He didn't understand what was going on. And I think that's
why. But he was looking up.
He was looking up. He was continually looking up. And though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. We read that earlier from Job 13, verse 15. You know, we often don't understand. And that's what, you know, Rob and I and his wife, Lynn, beautiful Lynn, and the children, we've been discussing that over and over again over the last 6 years. Why? You know, we don't have an answer. Mm-hmm. We don't understand, but we can trust.
Amen.
We don't understand, but we can trust. And so, my dear friends, who are listening out there in radio land, in looking up land, in looking up land, I want to encourage you, regardless of what your circumstances are, regardless of what your situation is, you may not understand why it is that the things that are happening to you are happening, but know one thing, like Job, he says, this I know. This I know. He doesn't say this I'm not, you know, this I think.
Yes.
Or this may be the case, but this I know, that my Redeemer lives and he's alive. And because Jesus is alive, we can have hope. And so I want to encourage you to keep looking up, keep trusting in Jesus, and keep your eyes glued on him, knowing that when you're going through your trials and your tragic circumstances, he is closer to you than at any other time. Like those three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace.
Amen.
Jesus was closer to them, Sharissa,
yes,
in the fiery furnace than when they were out of the fiery furnace.
And that's a great comfort and a great encouragement to be faithful to God no matter what.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't know if you've seen it. There are some roadworks going on there in Boolaroo where I pastor, on the main road going through the little, you know, township of Boolaroo there on in Lake Macquarie. And there are these signs where these roadworks are, and there are, you know, these electric wires above. And there's a sign there with like a person, like just a you know, kind of like a, you know, one of those sign pictures. I don't even know how to describe it, of a person, you know, with their finger pointed up, mm-hmm. and the message is, look up and live. Look up
it.
And live. Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Look up and live. So, you know, mind the electric wires up there. Look up and avoid them and you will live. And you know what? That's really the message of the Blessed Hope. Look up and live. Didn't Jesus say something along those lines?
He did. Look up and live. That's in Isaiah, isn't it?
Yeah, look up and live. And also the serpent.
Yes,
you know,
in the
wilderness, they were to look and live. Look and live. And Jesus used that same story in John 3, where he talked about, you know, the plan of salvation to Nicodemus, as the serpent was lifted up, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that all who look to him will live.
Amen.
So it's all about looking up and living. So anyway, yeah, just want to just remember them in prayer, and many others who have got loved ones. So if you're the boy, if you've got a loved one who is terminally ill, I want to encourage you to share these words of encouragement from Job and elsewhere. And by the way, these words, my friend Lyndon Borkovic, who now rests and waits for the Lord to come. He was only 36 or 7 when he passed away from brain cancer, you know, in the prime of his life, two beautiful children, you know, and a beautiful wife. And on his tombstone, guess what are the words?
What?
These words here from Job. These words. Yes. And so his wife chose these words from Job. For I know that my Redeemer lives. So everyone who walks by his graveside, they encounter these words from the book of Job, this promise that Job clung to. And I hope and pray that many will be encouraged. And I pray that there will be some in the kingdom, or many in the kingdom, that have walked by and have been encouraged by those words from the book of Job on the tombstone of young Lyndon Borkowick, who's awaiting the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
So there we go. And, I do need to give a big shout out to, a Richard.
Okay. Who's Richard?
This Richard, I met him for the first time on Saturday. He came to church. Our friend Patrice, you know, our friend Patrice, she invited him to come. He's a really busy bee. He's a business person. And, she said, look, just come. For lunch, you know. So he came for lunch. We had a luncheon day. And so I told him about the program and he said he'll tune in.
Oh, good.
So if you're tuning in, Richard, a big hello.
Very big welcome.
And great to have you on board. So yeah, lovely guy.
Oh, very good.
All right. So there you go.
Well, should I tell everyone a little bit more about the giveaway?
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
So again, the reminder, today's giveaway, which we'll give you the code word for in just a little bit, is a book called Darkness Before Dawn, Finding Hope for the Future. Pastor Danny gave away a huge clue about how it comes to be.
It was my favorite book at the rallies.
And he said that it's also taken from the book, The Great Controversy. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's portions of The Great Controversy that are specific to the times that you and I are living in. It's a powerful book.
So this book addresses questions such as, do you think that the world around you is growing out of control? Have you ever wondered why innocent people suffer? Why are there so many problems in the world today? What happens when you die? How can I find personal peace? Where is God when I suffer? These are good questions that I think a lot of people have. This book will help you unpack the Bible's answers. So if you're interested, stay listening. And when we give the code word, everyone can receive a copy of this today. It's a special day if you text that in. So, Pastor Danny, we have time to talk about current events as they relate to the soon return of Jesus.
Amen.
We've been following a lot of what's been going on in the United States because, of course, the United States is a player in Bible prophecy.
It's the epicenter of Bible prophecy.
And we're just 20 days away from the election that everybody's been talking about and thinking about and debating about for weeks and months.
And this they're saying, is going to be the most critical election in modern times.
Yes.
They cannot think of an election more critical and where more is at stake than this election. I mean, the tension is palpable. It's just huge. And so we're going to see what happens post November 5, but there's a lot riding on this election. So, you know, both parties are in it to win it in a major way. This is not just another election cycle. This is huge because they both see this as the potential tipping point for the United States of America, depending on who gets in. And so,
watch this space.
Yeah. So look, everything's set up and I'm going to talk a little bit about that as we go along. So did you want to share any more on that?
I was giving you a springboard.
You're giving me a springboard?
I was ready for you to.
All right. Well, it's interesting. I did share with you, I think it was last week and I probably shared it before over and over again, that, we have the United States, in a very precarious place. You know, that Time magazine article where, you know, people are really, what's the word that I'm looking for? They are just wired. They're ready. It's almost like, you know, something spring loaded, you know, and just need someone to press the button and
zoop. The temperature is high.
Very, very high. Now, I came across this interesting article here. The Department of Defense, okay, the DOD, the Departments of Defense, they have just updated their Department of Defense intelligence related activities and defense intelligence component. This military intelligence document, which enables the military, the U.S. military, to have powers in order to curb, you know, unrest, be it locally or outside of its borders. And it has updated in September 27, 2024, so just a few weeks ago, it updated. And I just want to read to you a little bit here. Imagine waking up. This is from this article that was entitled, "The Stealth Expansion of Military Intelligence Powers in Life or Death Domestic Scenarios." This is the DOD Directive 5240.01. And I looked it up just to make sure it was all legit, and it indeed is. I'll read to you a little bit, and then we've got a break coming up, and I think I'll finish off after that.
Sure.
It says here, imagine waking up to discover that the U.S. military has quietly been granted the authority to assist in domestic law enforcement activities, including the use of lethal force against U.S. citizens in certain circumstances.
Wow.
Now, consider that. This change was enacted just weeks before an election, already surrounded by concerns about unrest, civil liberties, and potential government overreach. This is the reality of the DOD Directive 5240 that was issued September 27. And I'm going to come back with what was issued.
You're going to have to hold that. Morgan Bird is going to bring to us this song, Be Exalted, and then we'll finish what Pastor Danny is sharing. It sounds very, very interesting.
Be exalted, my shelter, the storm is at hand. Have mercy, my refuge, your grace is dry land. Destruction is passing, it's crashing on me. Have mercy, my refuge, exalted you'll be. Be exalted, my Savior, I'm stuck in this cave. Your purposes for me are all that I have. I'm crying to heaven to send help for me. Be faithful, my refuge, exalted you'll be. Lift it high, God of heaven, glorify. Lift it high, we long for your glory in our lives. Exalted, my warrior, defeat all my foes. The lions surround me, they cause me to groan. My heart will be steadfast with traps set for me. Defend me, my refuge, exalted you'll be. Lift it high, God of heaven, glorify. Lift it high, we long for your glory in our lives. Lift it high, God of heaven, glorify. Lift it high, we long for your glory in our lives. Your glory is what we need, your glory is what we see exalted and lifted high. We long for your glory in our lives. Your glory is what we need. Your glory is what we see exalted and lifted high. We long for your glory in our lives. Lift it high, God of heaven, glorify. Lift it high, we long for your glory in our lives. Lift it high, God of heaven, glorify. Lift it high, we long for your glory in our lives. Your glory is what we need. Your glory is is what we see exalted and lifted high. We long for your glory in our lives. Your glory is what we need. Your glory is what we see exalted and lifted high. We long for your glory in our lives. We long for your glory in our lives. We long for your glory in our lives.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Looking up to you.
You are listening to the Looking Up Show, and we're so glad that you're joining us today. We were on the verge of hearing you bring together this amazing piece that you were reading to us. Yes. Do you want to refresh our listeners?
Yes. Okay, this is from the Department of Defense directive. So this directive was first put out in 1982 by the Department of Defense. They're the U.S. government, and it's in connection with, you know, how to deal with terrorism, how to deal with threats, you know, be they domestic or otherwise. And so every so often it's updated. The last time it was updated was 2016. Mm-hmm. And so they have re-updated this document as to what kind of powers the US military can have. And under this new update, a new provision has been made. So notice this provision here. There's several of them. This is probably the key one. The updated directive expands the circumstances in which the Department of Defense, okay, so that's the Army, the U.S. Army, can assist law enforcement. Okay, so the police are on the ground, they're the first line of defense, but if the police are struggling, obviously, then the government will often bring in the Army, okay, the Army, the big heavy boots on the ground. So in the event that, the police need assistance from the Army, it says here, according to this new provision, now that new force can include lethal force for the first time. For the first time, the Army can use lethal force, okay, on its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on here. Regarding assassinations, assassination explicitly forbidden. While assassination is banned, the new language allows for lethal actions under imminent threats. So if someone is an imminent threat, under these new provisions, they can be assassinated. Thirdly, concerns about civil liberties. The expanded definition, so this was updated all in September, last month. Only weeks out before the election, the expanded definition of national security threats is raising alarms, particularly given the broader definition of domestic terrorism threats now. So once upon a time, we didn't have the broad definition of domestic terrorism that we have today. Mm-hmm, isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Especially since January 6th.
Yes.
And the January 6th, you know, storming the Capitol. That everybody knows about. So it's interesting that this is all coming out just before the election.
Mm.
And this is what the author of this article that brings all this out and gives various links to these documents, to these government documents, says, ask the question, why timing matters? Implications for the 2024 elections. The timing of this update, just 6 weeks before the election, raises concerns. With debates surrounding election integrity, civil unrest, and political manipulation, the expanded powers granted by the directive could lead to military intervention in domestic affairs if civil unrest arises.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Isn't interesting? Goes on. I'll read this next sentence here. Adding to the concern is the Department of Homeland Security's recent expansion of what constitutes domestic terrorism. So the Department of Homeland Security mm-hmm. are working together with the Department of Defense.
Yes.
And they are looking to itemize or define what does domestic terrorism look like.
Yes.
Okay, goes on. The DHS, or the Department of Homeland Security, has flagged individuals questioning COVID-19 origins as possible domestic terrorists. Vaccine efficacy, those who question vaccine efficacy as potential domestic terrorists, or election integrity as potential threats. So if you question the election result, you could be seen as a potential domestic terrorist.
Amazing. And the definition could change.
Exactly. This is a little bit like our misinformation bill.
Yeah, when you're very serious.
That the very, very serious, because your life could be ended. Ended, exactly, if you're considered a domestic terrorist threat to national security. And so this plays into Revelation 13.
Yeah, let's remind everybody.
Revelation 13 talks about this kind of crazy scenario.
It's crazy.
In the United States of America, because Revelation 13 verses 11 to 17 is focused on the United States of America.
That's right.
That's one of my subjects when I go to Kfz Habba. That's mm-hmm. going to be the subject for Saturday morning, American Apocalypse, where I'm mm-hmm. going to unpack America's role according to Bible prophecy and where the Bible says it is heading. Now, if you take a look at verse 11, just read Revelation 13:11.
Sure. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon.
All right. We've been over this at length.
Let's do it again.
Ad nauseum. Now, who's the lamb here?
Well, every time the lamb is mentioned elsewhere, it's a reference to Jesus. It's a reference to the cross of Calvary. So the lamb like, two horns like a lamb, would be a Christian-like power.
Exactly, exactly. And you know what I was thinking about just the other day?
I don't know what you were thinking about.
Should I share on the radio what I was thinking about?
I don't know.
Everyone, hold your breath, hold your breath. Now, my wife's like, I say to her sometimes, I'm like, I've been thinking, and she goes, no, don't tell me what you've been thinking.
Someone who's had a lot of experience.
30 years of it only.
Wow, wonderful.
And because 9 times out of 10, what comes out is like, that's a bad idea. How could you have been thinking about that? And so she always says, are you sure you want to share with me what you've been thinking? Oh boy. Talking about thinking, I've got a little joke for you. Okay. Well, a commercial on the thinking part when this serious bit is over.
Okay.
So as I was looking at this passage and thinking about this beast that is described, this beast that comes out of the earth, mm-hmm. it's described, the description is focused on the two horns which are lamb-like.
It's true.
We're not given any description of this beast.
What it looks like.
No. And it's interesting because in Revelation 13.
Two horns like a lamb.
Two horns like a lamb. So the only descriptive aspect of this beast is the horns. Okay. They are lamb-like.
And its voice.
Exactly. And its voice. Exactly right. And we'll get to that in just a moment. So they're the two keys, I should say. Whereas in Revelation 13, mm-hmm. you've got this beast that comes up out of the sea.
That's true.
And the body's described. It's, you know, I saw like a leopard. His body was like a leopard. His feet were the feet of a bear, seven heads, mouth like a mouth of a lion.
There's a lot
of description. Whereas here. Now, so the focus here is on the horns, okay? Mm. And I looked up those horns, and the horns represent two things. They represent kingdom.
Right.
The kingdoms, like in Daniel chapter 7.
Yes.
You know, the 10 horns are 10 kingdoms.
Yes.
God clearly tells.
Civil power.
Civil power. Yeah, civil power. That can be also religious power, civil and religious power, but, you know,
right.
entities, political or religious entities.
Yes.
But you've also got the horn that also represents power, might, sovereignty, you know, real prestige power, because you've got the oil that was placed in the horn mm-hmm. when the priests and the kings and the prophets were anointed. Exactly.
Yeah.
You've also got the blowing of the horn.
True.
So this is something that's very significant. Okay. So here the horns represent the two hallmarks of the United States of America. The reason for its greatness, which is civil and religious freedom. Civil and religious freedom. These are the two key pillars that undergird the success and the power of the United States of America.
Mm.
And they are in the First Amendment of the Constitution.
The marrow of its democracy.
I love that.
I stole that from someone else.
I was going to say, that's huge.
That's too smart for me, but it's a quote talking about civil and religious liberty being the marrow of the democracy.
Absolutely.
Of the United States.
That's the bread and butter.
Now that's a beautiful
two
quote
things,
right
two
there.
Things, the bread and butter. So anyway, and so you've got the United States and the First Amendment of its Constitution.
Very
interesting. Is that there ought to be a separation between church and state.
Yes.
Because when church and state get into bed together,
yes,
then you have persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's been that way right throughout history.
It has been. In the days of Jesus, church and state came together to put Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. In the days of the Dark Ages, church and state came together to persecute, you know, faithful, Bible-believing, Christ-loving Christians. And in the end of time, the same will take place. So here we have this power that begins, the United States, that begins with the separation of church and state, which is Christ-like, which is what Jesus said, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give unto God what belongs to God. The Ten Commandments, they're two tablets, one focusing on our relationship with God, that belongs to God and us alone, no human intervention, and the other one in connection with your relationship with others that the government does have oversight over. Mm. But then we have the second descriptor.
Okay.
We'll speak like what?
A dragon.
Now, who's the dragon?
Well, we look at the previous chapter, and it says in chapter 12, verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan.
Exactly. And how does a nation speak?
Through its laws, legislative bodies.
Absolutely. So what we've just read here, these laws that are going to be targeting domestic terrorists, those at the end of time who remain faithful to God will be domestic terrorists. These laws are, according to Satan and his playbook, these are directly being drafted for the final showdown and God's end time faithful people.
That's
and we know
amazing.
That. We know that because we've literally got it in the text. Read for me, please, Revelation 13, verse 15. So this image of the beast, which is church and state uniting.
Yes.
Notice what it's going to lead to.
He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast or life, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed.
Does that sound like lethal force to you?
Force, yeah.
Lethal?
Lethal, yes, I mean, what, killed. Can't get more lethal than killed.
If you have a weapon that is lethal, you've got a weapon that can take someone's life.
Absolutely.
A lethal weapon. There was a movie, Lethal Weapon. I hope nobody watched it. That's on our program. Or if you have, pray that God will wipe away that hard drive.
Yes.
So we have that right here, that if they do not follow the dictates that will be put forward by the United States government.
He's given power by whom?
He's given power.
By the dragon?
By the dragon. Because it's the dragon is the one that is the motivating force behind this. Mm-hmm. Because church and state is to remain separate. That's Christ-like. Mm-hmm. But sadly, this nation that is Christ-like will turn from Christ in a time of crisis and will seek to legislate worship. And through the signs,
and
the miracles.
True worship cannot be legislated.
It cannot be legislated. You've also got more coercion, verse 16 and 17.
Yeah, the Bible goes on. It says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Mm, interesting. So, and we've talked at length about that. And what movie came out earlier this year, Sharissa? Remind me, what was that movie that came out looking at a potential scenario in the United States?
Civil war.
Yes, because of the polarization that country is in, a second civil war. It came out literally this year on April 11.
I haven't seen it.
And so I don't know whether this is predictive programming or not, as some of our friends on the internet are claiming. Time will tell. But do you know what? You bring a new world order out of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that. You remember that saying, ordo ab cao? Ordo ab cao, that Latin phrase, out of chaos comes order.
Mm.
And has our friend Joe Biden been talking about a new world order on the horizon?
I haven't.
Absolutely. Last 2022. Yeah, 2022. He said there's a new world order that is coming.
Mm,
and the United States
that.
Must lead it. The yes. United States must lead it. You know, we talked about that. I don't have that here right in front of me, but that was the headline. And so, yeah, we will see where all this leads to. But one thing we do know is that God is in control.
Praise the Lord for that.
That times are going to get pretty rough and tough. But like those boys in the fiery furnace and like Daniel in the lion's den, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, keep faithful to him, we will be safe and secure.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter if the mountains move, if they go into the sea, as Psalm, I think it's 46 tells us, mm-hmm. we will remain firm because our lives are grounded on the word of God, on Jesus Christ, and he will be our refuge.
Beautiful. Amen. Let's listen to the Nellons now bring to us a beautiful, beautiful song. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Be blessed.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain.
The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Mm-hmm.
That was the Nellons bringing to us There Is a Fountain, and this is the Looking Up program. And I think at this point in our program, we should tell you the code word, because
amen and amen.
This giveaway is too good to keep to ourselves any longer. So the book is, of course, The Darkness Before Dawn, Finding Hope for the Future. And it's a book compilation by Ellen G. White. You're going to love this book. It's, as Pastor Danny alerted us to the fact before, it's chapters of the great controversy, which we've talked about many times on this program, brought together, that are just so relevant, have so much hope as they point us up to Jesus and to the beautiful truths of his word about some of life's biggest questions. So the code word for today, which you can text in to our studio number, which we'll remind you of in a moment, but the code word is
LU24 Dawn.
That's DAWN. LU for looking up, 24 for the year 2024, and the word dawn, because of course it's the Darkness Before Dawn book. Text LU24 Dawn, DAWN, to this number, 0488-817-624. We have as many copies as taken away today, so everybody amen can be a winner. We hope you are. Text in the code word LU24 Dawn, 0488-817-624.
And if I could add, this is a fantastic book to give to a friend. So if you're
well,
thinking,
you've just got a whole lot more people now that want to get this to give away.
There might be some sharers that are thinking, look, I've got The Great Controversy. I love The Great Controversy. If this is that's just a compilation, a section of it, then I won't worry about it.
Sure.
But this is a brilliant little book. It's just a great little book to give to someone as a taste test
for
the book, The Great Controversy. So I was given away like hotcakes. I've got photos.
Just so you know, they've already been takers.
Oh, praise the Lord. I've got photos, Sharissa, like sneaky photos that I took of people reading the book at the rally. Like I'd give it to them. Next minute, you see them sitting down and they're probably reading that chapter, Liberty of Conscience Threatened, because that's why they are there at the rally. And they're like, is this for real? And I've got photos of this young couple just reading the book, and you can see they're just intently reading. Mm. And it's just a powerful book, and you'll really, really be blessed.
Amen.
Now, my friend, I do want to just share with you. Remember, I was going to share with you about that thinking, that thinking. Well, actually, it's not a joke. It's more of a commercial. It won the commercial of the year. And
I know the one.
Oh, you know the one?
There's only one commercial.
There is only one with the thinking.
Go ahead. Tell
us. That's great. It's my favorite commercial of all time. And you can go onto YouTube and you can find it. Anyway, I'll try and keep it really, really short, because Sharissa's probably heard it 20 times from me. I've probably shared this before.
I probably have like five times.
But
it was good
least
the last time too.
Anyway, you've got these Germans working in the Coast Guard. And they hear a distress signal coming from someone stranded on the high seas. I think it's a Pommy voice. I'm not sure if it is, but anyway, English voice. And they're saying, we're drowning, or we're sinking. And these guys, the German Coast Guards, they think, and they're like, what are you sinking about? What are you sinking about? Now, if there's any German listeners, they're going to be like, that is the worst German accent on the planet. What are you sinking about? And anyway, that's kind of the commercial that's advertising something. I don't even know what it's advertising, but I just never forget that.
I don't remember what it's about either, but I remember the
ad. We're sinking.
What are you sinking about?
I love it. I just laugh at that joke all the time. All right, now back to the elections. There's a presidential prophet. Have you heard of the presidential prophet?
Nope. Tell
his
us.
His name is he's a historian. His name is Alan Lichtman, and he has 9 out of the last 10 elections got it right. As far as
one did he get wrong?
He got the one in 2020 wrong, and he reckons he got it right, but that was the really controversial one.
Interesting.
Where Al Gore and George Bush, they were tied, and it was whoever won, I think it was Florida. Whoever won the state of Florida would win the election. It was literally only a handful of votes that separated the two.
Mm.
And it went to the Supreme Court. From what I understand, I didn't have the time to read up on how that all went down. But I remember at 2020, it was an election that was decided by the Supreme Court of the United States of America because it was so close and there was so little votes, and they were not sure about some of the votes, whether they were ticked in this box or that box. And there's images of the adjudicators, holding it up to the light and seeing, which I think this might have been this was probably, they were hand ballots, mm-hmm. And so anyway, but he reckons it wasn't George Bush that won the election. He believes it was Al Gore. So he will tell you that he's got a 10 out of 10. And guess what he has predicted for this time round?
Drum roll.
He's predicted our friend Kamala is going to win the race.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
He has these 13 keys, and I'm not going to go through them, but you can go online and you can check them out. He's got these 13 keys for how to find out if the current party, the incumbents, are going to continue. And if you have six of these keys that you are failing in,
mm-hmm.
well, then you're out.
Mm.
If you only have five that you're failing in, mm-hmm. but eight that you're successful in, you win every single time. He reckons this is bulletproof.
Okay.
9 out of 10. He's got it right. He predicted Donald Trump in 2016. He was one of the very few that went against all the polls and all the pundits, and he predicted Donald Trump in 2016. Now, why do I share that? I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, though I have the name of a prophet. But Sharissa, I want to predict that if Donald Trump does lose the election, there's going to be mayhem.
Probably even if he wins.
If he wins, there will be, I believe also, but not on the same scale. I believe that if he loses, potentially there could be great unrest. And so you've got the Department of Defense bringing out, these new revised laws of how the army can be utilized by the United States government to deal with potential unrest amongst the citizenry.
Yes.
So anyway, we will see what happens. But what we do know is that we are living in very, very serious times. Let's go to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's taking place in the Middle East, and things are really ratcheting up. We still haven't had Israel strike back at Iran for firing almost 200 ballistic missiles. That's never happened before since World War II. In World War II, we didn't have that kind of weaponry.
True.
So since World War II, this is the largest barrage of deadly artillery that has been targeting a particular country. And the only reason why there wasn't, mass deaths and casualties and destruction in Israel is because they've got that Iron Dome. That's the only reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The only reason. Otherwise, if those 200 ballistic missiles were sent to any other country that did not have that protection, there would have been thousands upon thousands probably dead, if they were going to fall in populated cities. So the tension is absolutely enormous. And to add to the tension, the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, had a meeting last week with the president of Iran. So what do you think that's telling you? They're saying, hey, that's okay, we're on your team. Guess who's on Israel's team? Team Israel is the US.
That's right.
Russia and the US. One is backing Israel, the other one is on the side of Iran, and then you've got China in the mix and with Taiwan. So you've got a lot of these scenarios. They're all just boiling. Everything is boiling.
Very tense.
Let me share with you this statement. And I've shared this before, but I was just reading it this afternoon. This was written in 1900 by Ellen White. All right, 1900. Notice what she writes. She writes, four mighty angels hold back the powers of this earth till the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. And where's that coming from?
Revelation
chapter 7.
Yep.
Revelation chapter 7. She goes on. The nations of the world are eager for conflict. So this is written in 1900, 14 years before the outbreak of World War I.
Mm-hmm.
but they are held in check by the angels. But when this restraining power is removed, there will come a time of trouble and anguish. Then she goes on, she says, deadly instruments of warfare will be invented. So they weren't around in her day.
Yeah, but they're here today.
They're here today.
Amazing.
She says, vessels with their live cargo will be entombed in the great deep. World War I, World War II. And then she says, but they are to be kept under control till the time shall come for the great battle of Armageddon. And then she goes on, and in 1911, she writes these words. And these are from The Great Controversy, mm-hmm. page 614. So toward the back end there, she writes, Satan, back to this. She says, these angels that are restraining the winds of strife that they might not blow until the world shall be warned of its coming doom, but a storm is gathering, ready to burst upon the earth. And when God shall bid his angels loose the winds, there will be such a scene of strife as no pen can picture. That's pretty serious language, isn't it?
Very.
She says, Satan will then plunge the inhabitants of the earth into one great final battle. As the angels of God cease to hold in check the fierce winds of human passion, all the elements of strife will be let loose. The whole world will be involved in ruin more terrible than that which came upon Jerusalem of old. Mm. Now, these are very sober words. Now, why do I share these words? Not to scare people, but to give people encouragement. Now, people may be thinking, what? What kind of words of encouragement are they, Danny? Have you lost it? The words of encouragement here are that God is holding back the winds of strife. He is in control. And God will continue to hold back these winds of strife. As they gather, as the storm clouds gather, God will hold back those storm clouds and not allow them to blow in their full fury and intensity as Satan would have them, because he's the one behind all these wars. Let's not forget.
That's right.
Until God's people are sealed. All those that are looking up, Sharissa, that they're sealed, safe and secure in the hands of Jesus. And when that moment has ended, when all have made their choice, either for or against the salvation that God provides through Jesus, then God will say,
enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Michael will stand up.
He will stand up and those winds will be let go.
Yes.
But until then, you and I can rest assured that although there will be conflict and there will be growing conflict, I believe, those labor pains will intensify, but there will not be an all-out third world war. Mm. It's not going to happen. Praise the Lord for that. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Isn't that good news? Because you won't hear that on the news.
Certainly a lot of people probably expect it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we know that something serious is brewing in the Middle East, more so is because the United States just this last week has made a decision to send more troops. Anti-missile systems and troops to Israel.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that? They're obviously preparing for what's going to happen next, the escalation that will inevitably take place. Because Iran has said, you strike us and you haven't seen anything yet. Those ballistic missiles are going to look like a picnic in the park.
Mm.
And so we don't know what Israel has in mind. They've said it's going to be a surprise and it's going to be huge.
Mm.
It's going to be devastating. So what they're going to strike, we don't know. Time will tell. But we do know that they are preparing themselves for what's going to come their way. Can you see where things are going? And so what this leads me to, Sharissa, is this. This is the conclusion as I've been mulling over these things. There will not be a political solution at the UN or anywhere else to deal with this Israel-Palestine conflict, will there? So there will be a solution that'll have to come from out of this world. A supernatural solution. Is there someone that's able to pull off a supernatural solution?
Like an angel masquerading as an angel of light? Mm-hmm.
Through possible signs, miracles, and wonders?
Like Satan himself?
Like someone who's able to bring fire down from heaven? Can you see how everything's coming?
We are so close.
We are so close. So there is no human solution. So people who are desperate for peace and safety will be seeking for a spiritual solution. Wow.
Let us turn our minds to the one in whom we find our peace. It is in God and His beautiful presence.
Amen.
My sister bringing to us this song, Marley Tafong, In His Presence. Exactly where we need to be, in the presence of God. That's the only place we can find true peace and rest.
She sounds so much like you, Charissa.
Well,
you must be sisters.
Would you like to hear an amazing fact?
Yes, yes.
I was one of the backup voices.
No way. Well, I'll be.
But so glad that, you know, they have these technologies today where you sing and then they can bump you up into in tune if you're off. They do some amazing editing.
So that could even make me sound okay?
They could make you sound amazing.
That is amazing. That is amazing. I never thought – If my Sabbath school teachers that told me I just can't sing, and I was even told my singing was that bad, sorry, so that I was told to just simply mime the words.
That's so.
I don't know. I was just out of tune. I think probably deliberately so.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to be annoying because I was just an annoying kid often, you know. And but yeah. So if I could only tell them that the day's coming when I will sound like an angel.
That will be in heaven.
That would have said fake news, misinformation, disinformation.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
you go ahead.
No, you're going to give the...
I was going to give the code word
absolutely,
again.
Absolutely, do that.
Code word, we've had a few takers, but the code word, L-U-2-4 Dawn, D-A-W-N. Text it through to the number 0488-817-624. Today, everyone can be a winner of this beautiful book, Darkness Before Dawn. L-U-2-4-DAWN.
Well, where were we? That's right. We were looking at sort of the state of the world and how everything is coming to that crescendo, to that climax, yes, that Revelation describes,
yes,
in great detail. Now, it's interesting, back to what you shared, and I did a little bit of research on that United Nations pact that was signed.
You did I share that?
Yeah, no. I shared something about that pact for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was signed by most, if not all, yes, of the countries. And you informed me, no, that not all were on board.
Yes.
This pact for the future that was just recently voted through by the United Nations General Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Over 140 nations said yes,
mm-hmm,
but some 7 said no. And 15 countries also abstained. Now, it's interesting when you take a look at the countries that said no and those that abstained from the vote, and those that abstained from the vote, more often than not, they're not in favor, but they don't want to publicly acknowledge that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just generally how it works. Now, the countries that were either against or abstained are interesting if you take a look at that list. And I've got the list here in front of me. So, and I've got a point behind this. Russia, Belarus, Nicaragua, North Korea, Iran, Syria, Sudan, China, Cuba, Iraq, Laos, Malaysia, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you? It tells you that these nations are generally singing from the same page.
Mm-hmm.
They are not your Western, or those considered your Western democratic nations.
Yes.
Okay, they're not them. So you've got this clear East and West. Okay, there was the Soviet Union and the United States, the Cold War. Now you've got this China-USA tension. Now you've got this Iran-Israel tension. Can you see how we don't have this unity? We don't have this
definitely
unity.
Not.
Okay. So although the United Nations, you know, adopted this pact for the future on a majority vote, a large majority, you still don't have complete consensus. So the Bible says, Revelation says, there will be complete consensus at the end of time.
Mm.
It says all the kings of the earth, mm-hmm, will come together and they will be giving their authority and their power to the beast or to the Roman papacy that will lead the world in this quest for peace and safety.
Mm-hmm.
And the mark of the beast will be enforced. The image of the beast will be enforced around the world. And that, of course, and we've talked about this in the past many a time, and we'll talk about it still many a time in the future for as long as we're able to continue through this format on radio. But that mark of the beast crisis is over worship. And it's over a day of worship where Sunday will be set aside as the day to bring the world together. And it will come about through supernatural means, and it will come about through a time of great stress and trial when everyone is feeling the heat. So those in Russia, those in America, those in Nicaragua, those around the world, in Australia, New Zealand, wherever you may be, you will not be spared. The entire world will be feeling the stress and the strain of this world that is imploding on itself. And they will all together in one voice cry out for peace and safety. And then this one day will be rolled out that will be the day when we come together as a world to bring in this new world order based on these common values that we must have. Otherwise, we're going to destroy ourselves. Mm. It'll be the one world or none. And so Sunday will be the day that will bring everyone together. There'll be supernatural means behind it. There'll be political means behind it. There'll be religious means behind it. There'll be social means behind it. It will be the day that brings the world together.
For the planet.
For the planet. For people and for planet. Mm. Because this pact that was put together, this is the one of the clearest indications that this agreement will not come through any pact at the United Nations, but this worldwide agreement that will ultimately then be against God and his small group of people, this remnant group of people. It has to be what God has said. It has to be this day that is set aside to bring the world together. It's so clear to me because nothing else is working.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's a couple of years ago, before climate change was really something people were really worried or hyped up about, you say something like this and it would be like, well, I can't imagine that ever happening. But certainly in recent times, with the steady tread of events in all of these different spaces, with what's the push for climate change and all the things that are leading people to be more and more concerned about it, the state of the world, you can see. Mm-hmm. I see it really clearly. You can definitely see it's possible.
Absolutely.
It's more than I know it will happen, but like you can see it's going to happen now.
Like you said before,
the way it's being prepared.
It's being prepared. And I mean, you know, with the great hurricane, you know, Milton, praise the Lord.
Yes.
It wasn't as bad as they had predicted. But did you notice the tornadoes? The tornadoes killed a lot of people that came just as the hurricane was about to make landfall. The tornadoes came as the John the Baptist, you know, to prepare the way in a very devastating way. And so they came through and they killed people, sadly, because tornadoes, you know, you don't have the warnings that you do, you know, with a tornado coming through. And I went on to the official, hurricane, watch list of the US, and it had 2024 Atlantic hurricane season. For 2024, forecasters predict an above average Atlantic hurricane season, which runs from June 1 to November 30. Mm. They said as of October 11, so that was, you know, Hurricane Milton, there have been 13 named storms, including 4 tropical storms and 9 hurricanes, of which 4 have been major hurricanes. And so we don't know how many more will take place in this season, you know, that is still got, you know, where are we? November 30. So some 6 weeks still to go. But they're saying it will be greater than the average. And so, you know, could it be that God was holding back those hurricane winds of strife?
I believe that was a miracle.
Yeah.
An answer to prayer.
Because it was, you know, the winds were at about 180 miles, which is 300 kilometers an hour. Mm. It was category 5. It was maxing out. And then all of a sudden, just as it was about to make landfall or made landfall, it went down to a category 3.
That's amazing.
So it's interesting. Now, can I just read this? You're going to the scriptures. I can see that. Yeah. I just want to read this to you because, you know, the climate is bringing the world together. Mm-hmm. The climate is bringing the world together. And it matters not where you live, whether you live in Australia, in America, in Afghanistan, in Armenia, if the weather is destroying your property and potentially your life and livelihood, guess what? Mm-hmm. It's going to have an impact on you, Sharissa.
Yes.
And this is what it says here in the Great Controversy. So once again, that chapter, the impending conflict, conflict. This is what it says. It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath. Remember I mentioned that?
Yes.
It's going to bring the world together. That this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced. So what does that tell us about the climate change? Is it going to get worse or better?
It's going to get worse.
Okay, it's going to get worse. And that those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, that would be the Sabbath, thus destroying reverence for Sunday. Can you see that Sunday is going to be the day that's going to be put forward?
Mm-hmm.
Are troublers of the people preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity? That's exactly what was said in connection with Elijah. Remember that?
Yes.
You are a troubler of the people. That's what King Ahab said to him. She goes on, she says, the miracle working power manifested through spiritualism will exert its influence against those who choose to obey God rather than men. Mm. Communications from the spirits. I told you it's going to be an out of this world solution. Oh, wow. That's going to pull everything together. Communications from the spirits. This would be demonic spirits from Satan himself will declare that God has sent them to convince the rejecters of some. God has sent them? Hang on a minute. Does this sound like extraterrestrial beings?
Yes, it does. It does.
Has that been in Hollywood's movies?
Yes.
Absolutely. Have they been talking about that in the United States Congress? Yes. It will be declared. Where am I up to here? It communicates from the spirit. Okay. Convincing the rejecters of Sunday of their error, affirming that the laws of the land should be obeyed as the law of God. Will there be laws placed in the United States beginning and going around the world that will bring about Sunday observance? Yes. The lamb-like beast will speak like what? A dragon. And how does a nation speak?
Through its laws and legislative bodies.
It's all there. Let's get ready. Okay. They will lament the great wickedness in the world. Is there wickedness in the world today?
Yes.
Yes. This is all written over 100 years ago, Charissa.
It's becoming more and more relevant.
And second, the testimony of religious teachers. Are the religious teachers today getting involved in politics? Yes. Jonathan Kahn. American Messianic Jew, pastor and author and novelist. And I just watched him literally just yesterday. He just put out this 20-minute video on the election. Mm. Who should we vote for, Kamala or Brother Trump? Mm-hmm. And he's saying it's clear between light and day. Even though the Trump campaign have watered down, the stand on abortion, the traditional Christian stand on abortion, the traditional Christian stand on marriage. Even though they've watered that down in order to appease, sort of the more progressives in their party and those that they're trying to win votes from. But he said, you need to vote for Donald Trump. And if you're a minister, you have a responsibility. I'm telling you, Charissa.
Wow.
he used Ezekiel. He said in Ezekiel was told, if you do not give the warning to the people, the blood of the people will be on your hands. And he was telling the pastors, people like me, in their churches in the United States of America, if you do not share with your church members that they must vote for Donald Trump if they want to be true to God,
wow,
their blood and the blood of this nation will be on your hands, dear pastors.
That's very strong.
Strong. And so in America, politics and church have never been more in bed together.
Yes.
They are full on in bed together.
Yep.
So, okay, where was I? They will lament the great wickedness in the world, and second, the testimony of religious teachers that the degraded state of morals is caused by the desecration of Sunday. Hmm. Great will be the indignation excited against all who refuse to accept their testimony.
Oh, amazing.
Can you see how that's all taking place?
And just a reminder for our listeners. Wow. Danny's quoting from the book that's our giveaway today.
It is, yes. Like
all of these quotes are in today's giveaway, Darkness Absolutely. Before Dawn, Finding Hope for the Future. If you're interested, getting a copy for yourself, marking it up for yourself, please text in the code word LU24DAWN to 0488-817-624.
Wow, amazing, amazing. All right, we are definitely going to get to our Bible study
We're
in our next
out of
section.
Time.
I'm just going to just simply say that, Alex Greenwich, the equality bill in New South Wales.
Oh, yes.
He has
coming up.
He has taken out the provision in connection with Christian or religious schools that they will have to, abide by the dictates of same-sex
Something like that. We'll have to clarify it when
we'll
come back.
We'll have to clarify. So I don't want to get off the top of my head on this.
No, yes. We've got Chris Rice bringing to us How Great Thou Art. This happens to be Judah's favorite song right now. Last week
heard
How Great Thou Art and he sang along apparently.
Beautiful song.
So Judah, this one, it's your song, How Great Thou Art.
How Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the world and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. That God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on a cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
I'm always looking up to you.
That was Chris Rice bringing to us How Great Thou Art. We are almost at the end of the Looking Up live program here, and it's gone very fast again, as Amen. Always. But Pastor Danny, where were we up to?
We were up to listening to Judah Tarosian sing How Great Thou Art. I thought that's what you were going to say. And that was little Judah, not even two Tarosian.
Yeah.
She just showed me. She just showed me a recording of Judah singing How Great Thou Art. It's so cute. It's so wonderful. I've told her to put it online.
Well, you will think about it. Because
you've got to put it on the Facebook, I'm sure.
The Facebook.
The
Facebook. Or the YouTube.
Faith FM Facebook.
The Faith FM, yeah.
Does Faith FM ever? It's got a Facebook, surely.
It's got a Facebook. anyway.
I'm sinking quick.
Well, basically, I just showed him a video that last week during our live broadcast, we had, Shell had lined up How Great Thou Art, and Judah was at home. Mum and Dad are looking after him for us at the moment, and he started singing along to the song, but singing with all his heart.
Oh, boy.
He's getting a few words, but it's his favorite song.
You got to hear it. So, folk, please text us if you want Charissa to put that song on the Facebook.
On the Facebook.
On the Facebook, yeah. Oh, yeah, so you got to do that, Charissa, for our listeners. They will love it. And you know what? Everybody else will love it. That's just one of those beautiful items. I mean, all sorts of stuff gets onto YouTube and TikTok, and we need something decent. I mean, you're not going to get any better than that. See, I'm not sure if I've convinced her by the look of her face. She doesn't look like she's been convinced or convicted or persuaded. As Paul said,
I'm almost persuaded.
Anyway, I can't believe it, Charissa. We're in our last section, and I seriously thought that we were going to get through more than we did, but we kind of, the problem is, it's not a problem. It's Bible prophecy. There's just so much. And it's not like we've dealt with a lot of headlines, but we've just unpacked what the scriptures has to say. Mm. And it's just following exactly what's taking place right now. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe just on a local level, I'm not sure. Unfortunately, folk, you'll have to forgive me once again, whether we get to any of this Bible study or not. Probably not. What were you going to say?
I just remembered what we were talking about before the break was that legislation.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. Yeah, so this is really important legislation that will impact the religious school system in New South Wales in a major way. So the independent MP in our New South Wales Parliament by the name of Alex Greenwich, he put forward an equality bill. Now, this bill has been drafted and redrafted, put forward, taken down, because there's obviously a lot of controversy in connection with this bill because it would have such a huge impact on our religious school systems, and in particular the Christian school system, which is just massive, around Australia and in particular here in New South Wales. And so I just read this from Monday's ABC News headline, and it was Alex Greenwich's equality bill has dropped protections for LGBTQIA+ teachers and students in New South Wales. So what's left of it? They're like, well, what is left of it? So let's find out. It says here, the Sydney MP said he made the heartbreaking decision to remove key provisions from his proposed equality reform bill to ensure issues about individual dignity and safety were urgently addressed. It means a proposed change to the New South Wales Anti-Discrimination Act, which would have banned private schools from discriminating against gay or transgender students and teachers, will now be dropped. So this was a really big issue, and the various religious communities put out an open letter to the New South Wales Premier. You might remember we discussed this, saying that under no circumstances is this bill to go ahead, because that will not allow the religious schools to uphold their values and their ethos when it comes to, you know, faith-based schools. If you cannot employ school teachers that are faithful to your teachings,
what's the point? Faith-based school.
Exactly. And if you cannot have students abiding by the faith practices of that school, that school's going to become, you know, a mess very, very quickly. Because you could also have the scenario, Sharissa, of a teacher being a faithful Christian or upholding Christian values, because they're not all Christians that teach in our religious schools. And in particular, in Seventh-day Adventist schools, they're not all practicing Christians. However, they sign up for teaching in harmony with the principles of this school and its teachings. And you could have a teacher that says, yes, I've signed up today, but tomorrow they decide to change their mind. They decide, no, I no longer want to be, you know, part of the heterosexual community or whatever the case may be. I now want to come out as, you know, as trans. Mm. And according to this bill, you would not be allowed to dismiss them. You would not be allowed to fire them. You would have to keep them on staff and not discriminate against their new identity. And if a student likewise comes out as trans or gay or whatever, and they decide to promote that, you will not be able to discriminate against that student. You'll need to continue to retain that student. So that would have a negative permeating impact on religious schools in a major way. So he's taken that out, hoping that his bill will pass. But he says, it's heartbreaking that I'm in a position where I'm having to remove a reform that I have fought for my entire political life.
Mm.
And so we'll see where this space is going, but the Christians are really standing up.
It would be worth our listeners, if this is a concern to you, which I hope you can see that it should be, then I'd encourage you to go to the website www.acl.org.au/New South Wales-equality. There's a way that they can help you contact your local member for parliament and you can write them and let them know, because what you say right now is very important. I believe I saw a friend of mine, friend of yours too, on Facebook. He posted, and that's how I first saw this, Blair.
Hi, Blair. Our friend Blair. We need to get him in one day to talk about religious liberty issues.
He loves
that space, yes.
But he was saying that, you know, that this is going to be discussed next week.
Mm. So, well, it's currently being discussed right now.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, in New South Wales Parliament right now as we speak.
Right.
It's being discussed.
So, yeah, he was really encouraging people to write their local member. So I did, and the website's very good. It helps you to, you know, get the right email address, even helps you write the email. But it's important that they hear the voice of people who are concerned, so that they know that the legislation as it presents does not represent the views of everybody.
Mm, indeed.
It's important to use your voice.
Indeed. And so we're seeing more and more pushback being taken seriously and taken note of by the political parties. And it could be that we are reaching the climax of where this agenda to steer away our societies, our communities, our schools, our hospitals, you name it, steer them away from God's word. Maybe we've reached a climax and the pendulum is about to swing. Mm. And why I share that is based on this statement, and I haven't read this one yet, in connection with what's coming down the track. Notice this, because we know the pendulum will swing back the other way. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation tells us, and this book, The Great Controversy, tells us. And it's interesting. This is what it says here. Those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemies of law and order, as breaking down the moral restraints of society. So there will be a push in the other direction to bring back moral restraints, right? This whole Sunday movement's going to encapture everything, Sharissa.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just going to be one or two things. It's going to encapture everything: the climate, morality, political unrest, civil unrest, polarization, you name it. Everything is going to be captured in this peace and safety movement. As breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption, and calling down the judgments of God upon the earth. And then it goes on, their conscientious scruples will be pronounced obstinacy, stubbornness, and contempt for authority. They'll be accused of disaffection toward the government. Ministers who deny the obligation of the divine law will present from the pulpit the duty of yielding obedience to the civil authorities as ordained of God. And then it says that in order to secure public favor, there will be a popular demand for a law enforcing Sunday observance. It will come out of the context of we need to bring back morality, because the morality of our society is destroying us from the inside out. It's this cancer that's destroying our society. And if this cancer is not removed, and this is all playing into this, you know, we talked about the political, you know, polarization, the nations against one another in politics, society. You have this, and when you have this polarization, one of two things happens. Either the society heads left or they head right.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to head in one or the other direction. And so we know the pendulum is going to swing very hard the other way. And there's going to be the cry for we need to get this world back to a moral standard that's going to keep us alive and well and safe and surviving what appears to be destruction on the horizon.
Yeah. I heard a quote once and it says, nothing brings people together more quickly than having a common enemy.
Absolutely. Yep. And the common enemy will be the judgments of God.
Yeah.
You know, that will be perceived as the judgments of God that are coming because we have turned our backs on God. Mm-hmm. And so this is where we are today. And I don't need to tell you, you know, we've all got a few minutes left, but it talked about they surveyed students, parents and teachers in connection with our school system around Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the headline. Four words. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
The system is broken. The system is broken. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hundreds of students and parents and teachers that were surveyed, you know, give their feedback on why they feel the system is broken. Teachers say they're being bullied in the classroom. They're being overworked. They're resigning en masse. It's hard to find teachers because they're saying it's impossible to teach.
I can imagine.
Students are facing bullying. Mm-hmm. Parents are outraged by some of the things that are being shared.
Homeschooling.
Homeschooling. Sharissa is the biggest ambassador for homeschool. And little Judah is on not even two. That's going to be a sure bet by the time he's like five. You can be sure of that. He won't be going anywhere near any school.
It's scary when you think about it.
Yeah. Well, so the thing is, you know, whichever way you slice the cake, there is no solution outside of we need to get this world back to God. And I absolutely believe we need to get this world back to God. We need to get this world back to God, but mm-hmm. only God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And God does not force anyone. And it's interesting, in this same book, The Great Controversy, this is what she writes. She writes, God never forces the will or the conscience, but Satan's constant resort to gain control of those whom he cannot otherwise seduce is compulsion by cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
Through fear or force. Hello, COVID. Have you heard of COVID?
Yeah.
That was part and parcel of COVID, wasn't it? Through fear or force, he endeavors to rule the conscience and to secure homage to himself. To accomplish this, he works through both religious and secular authorities. Everyone's going to come together, as was the case in the days of Jesus and through the Dark Ages, moving them to the enforcement of human laws in defiance of the law of God. And that's where the rub will be, my friend. And so we're looking at that. And one final thing. And look at that. We've got 1 minute left and I'm at my last.
You have one.
This was from another article just yesterday. Food Bank Hunger Report reveals troubling meal-skipping trend among low-income earners as millions experience severe food insecurity. So things are getting harder and harder. And according to this Food Bank report, 2024 Hunger Report, that's found 3.4 million Australian households are experiencing food insecurity, including 2 million who are experiencing severe food insecurity. This is in the land of Australia that my dad nicknamed the land flowing with milk and honey. So can you see we are seeking for divine, out of this world solution to these growing issues, and only Jesus can provide that.
Amazing. Well, we have one song left. That's going to be brought to us by Carly Fletcher. It's a song she wrote. She writes beautiful songs. This one is entitled Knocking. We pray it's a blessing to you, and then we'll come back with some summative thoughts on today's broadcast.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Can you hear him? Knock, knock, knocking at the door of your heart. He won't force his way in, yet he stands. Knock, knock, knocking at the door of your heart. Won't you open it wide and let him inside? Knock, knock, knocking at the door of your heart. To be with you, to meet with you today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him.
Beautiful message and song, reminding us that of the words of Jesus, isn't it? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. I was thinking, you know, in light of all that we've been talking about, the words of 1 Peter 4 verse 7 are really, really relevant. It simply says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers.
Amen.
Be serious and genuine about seeking God in prayer and walking with Him and getting to know Him, because He is our only hope.
Amen. Amen.
What would you like to share with?
That's so powerful. Well, I was really enjoying that song from our friend Carly. Mm. And it's just a beautiful song on Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. You know, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." And then he goes on, these are the words of Jesus, to his final end-time church. This is the Laodicean church, those who are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. They can't make up their minds, and Jesus is desperately trying to reach them. And he says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." What a gift, what a blessing that Christ gives the greatest of all the blessings to the worst of all the churches. Isn't that incredible grace? Mm-hmm. Where sin abounds, God's grace abounds even more so. And, you know, Jesus wants to come in and he loves us. He says in verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent." He wants us to repent, and to repent means to turn to him, to turn to him and to find salvation in him alone. And that's what I'm looking forward to sharing in Coffs Harbour. You know, there's going to be news headlines, there's going to be a lot of prophecy, but ultimately this four-part series in Coffs Harbour will be focused on looking up to Jesus, giving your heart, giving your life to him, realizing that he is the only one that can provide true peace and safety. Man. Only in his nail-scarred hands is there to be found safety in these final end times. And I just want to sort of finish off by, you know, looking at Revelation 22:17, the final invitation in Scripture. You know, that invitation, if you open the door, I will come into and dine with you, in Revelation 3:20. In Revelation 22:17, it says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." And who is it, Sharissa, that gives the water of life freely?
Only Jesus.
He says, "I'm the water, you know, I've give the water of life to the woman at the well."
The living water.
The living water. And when you drink of this water, you will never thirst again.
Amen.
So my dear friends, regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of what's going on in our own personal experience, we need to continue to keep looking up and seeking for that everlasting water of life that Jesus Christ offers to all those that will open the door to him and open their hearts to him. And so, yeah, come to Coffs Harbour. I'm looking forward to seeing you, and we're going to unpack the plans that Jesus has for all of us together.
Amen. Well, we've talked about so much, but there is still time for us to pray. We're going to pray for our listeners.
Amen. Why don't you pray? I was
just going to offer.
Oh, look at that. I read your mind. I read your mind. The one and only time I'll read Charissa's mind. Go for it, sister.
Our loving Father in heaven, Lord, in a world that is so unhinged and so crazy in so many places, what a joy and what an assurance it is to know that you are the one who's in ultimate control, that we can look to you and find peace and safety in a place of refuge. Lord, as we have been studying the Bible, Lord, we see that the signs are telling us that the coming of Jesus is so near. And I pray that for all of our listeners, that your Holy Spirit will lead us to desire to know you more.
Amen.
To study your word, to understand who you are, and to see your great love for each one of us, so that we can put our faith and trust in Jesus and be ready for that day when Jesus comes, so that we will look up and we will see you, we will put a smile on your face, and we will say, "Lord, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us."
Amen.
So bless us, bless our listeners, I pray, and bring more people to join us when we meet again, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we'll be meeting again in 2 weeks' time,
Sharissa. We will be. So that will take us almost to the day of the election.
1 week out. 1 week out.
Who knows? We'll have a lot to talk about.
We will. So there'll definitely be no Bible study then in 2 weeks' time. We've got a lot to catch up on. But yes.
Yes. 2 weeks' time. So we're away next week, but there'll still be something happening in this spot. Stay tuned on this channel now, because there's the Drive Time Show coming to you live from Adelaide. And until we meet again, always remember that fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up.
Keep looking up. Don't give up. Don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. Should the tears begin to stop, with a prayer all your cares He will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
Seek your face at night. How long?